Okay, it's on page 264, Mizmor Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Vav, the last Pasuk on the page, and 264. Biyotch, in your hands, Avkid Ruchi, in your hands, I deposit my spirit. Podisa, Oisi Hashem, you redeem me, Hashem. Podisa, in the past, you have redeemed me. As we learned yesterday in Rashi, Rashi says it's precise. Don't suggest that this is over here. I didn't turn this on. I didn't turn on the Zoom. One moment. Okay, so we did yesterday the Mitsudos. Thank you very much. Meetings. Personal room.
Recording in progress.
All right. So Paditsa is in the past tense. Paditsa is the Hashem Ekel Emes. Okay, then we discussed yesterday. Let's look over here in Mamori Chazal. Mamori Chazal, Pasuk Vav, very important Pasuk, in the page 265, in the very, very bottom, on the right side. B'yot Chavkid Ruchi, Paditsa Hashem, Paditsa is the Hashem Ekel Emes. Omar Rabbi Yeshua Lady. Afal pisha kara adam kriyashma bevesak neses mitzvah likroisoi al mitosoi. Okay, even a person says kriyashma in the Beis HaKnesses bezman, which is very rare today. Think about it, most of the time you daven shema in shul, it's before the zman. Not all the time, depending, you daven marv during the weekday in the shul at night, so it's after the zman, but Friday night, yomtif, if you daven mincha and marv together, which is very common, so you end up davening kriyashma before the zman. Okay, so then everyone knows you have to say Kriyat Shema over again. But let's say you already said Kriyat Shema bizman, after Tzei Sakachavim, according to all opinions, there's a mitzvah called Kriyat Shema al Hamita. A special concept to recite Kriyat Shema al Hamita. Why? What is it all about? So this Gemara is a very critical Gemara. Why? Amrav Nachman. And then the Gemara goes on there to say, okay, I don't look at the whole Gemara, but the Gemara there is you have to say it at night. Amar Nachman, in Talmud Chacham Hu Ein Tzarech. If one is a Talmud Chacham, it's not necessary. Why not? Amar Abaya, no, I disagree. Av Talmud Chacham Mi Boyle Lemeimar Chad Pesuka Derachane. Kigoin, Biyodcha, in your hand, what pasuk should you say? This pasuk. Biyotcha, in your hand, Avkid Ruchi, I deposit my spirit, Podisa Oisi Hashem Kel Emes. So, the Gemara here is saying, this is a big sugya. What is exactly the purpose of saying Kriya Shema Al Hamita? Don't say it's because it says in the Pasuk, B'shach B'cha Uvi Kumecha, when you lie down, because we know the interpretation of the Torah is not to be taken literally. That's a basic, very basic principle in Judaism, that everything in the Torah is subject to the scrutiny of the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, and B'shach B'cha refers to the Zman of Kriyashma in the Beis HaKnesses, Zman Shechiva. Okay, it's during the Zman of Shechiva. Welcome, Alan, Shalom Aleichem. During the Zman of Shechiva, and the Zman of Shechiva is after it says HaKachavim, the person is already, that is called B'shach B'cha. There's nothing more that needs to be done. So why else are you saying Kriyashma when you go to sleep? So the answer, this is big sugya, but the basic mahalach in the sugya is, it's for shmira, it's for protection. Kriyashma accomplishes multiple things. It's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamay. It is. It's a mitzvah deraisa, the morning and at night. But there's an extra benefit, a fringe benefit that comes from Kriyat Shema. It provides protection. It provides shmira. The whole nusach of Kriyat Shema Hamita is all about being protected, because when a person goes to sleep, he is vulnerable. You're not. You don't know what's going on. Yaakov Avinu, look at Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, when he went to sleep, what did he do? He took 12 stones and he surrounded his head with the 12 stones. Why? He was afraid. An animal will come in the middle of the night and eat him up. when a person is asleep, he enters into a state of vulnerability. And as an antidote to the vulnerability, one recites Kriya Shema. This is a totally new dimension of Kriya Shema. And that explains why Leil Pesach, which is called Leil Shimurim, there's no need to say Kriya Shema Al Hamita. Now, we anyway do, right? But at least in concept, what in the world is going on over there on that table, Mayor? at least in concept, there is no need to say Kriya Shema Al Hamita Leil Pesach, because it's a Leil Shimurim. So over here, this piece of Gemara is a fascinating piece of Gemara. Torah is Megan. Chazal says, what is the difference between Torah and mitzvahs? A mitzvah, shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. A person that does a mitzvah is provided with a degree of protection. Okay, whatever that means, it means there have been people who have done mitzvahs and unfortunately they perished. So whatever
it means, b'shas
ma'isa. Right, b'shas ma'isa. There are people who have done mitzvahs, b'shas ma'isa, and they didn't survive. Okay, whatever it means, we have emunas chachamim. And Torah is a mitzvah. So the Gemara is the question, what is the chilik between the protection that a person receives when he does a mitzvah, k'neged, versus the protection he receives when he learns? So the Gemara says, when a person does a mitzvah, he only gets protection b'shas ma'isa. At the moment of the mitzvah is when he is provided with protection. When the mitzvah is over, no more protection. But when a person learns Torah, it's an incredible koyach, the shemira lingers. When a person acquires Torah knowledge, he radiates. He radiates with the koyach of Torah, and the Torah protects him even when he's not actively involved in learning. Person learns Torah the whole day, and then he goes to eat dinner, and he pays the bills, goes home to take care of all of his mundane needs. He goes to the Beis HaKisei, and there are dangers lurking that he's not aware of what's going on in his environment. And because he is a person of Torah, the Torah is Megan Afilu Shaloi B'shas Limud. That's a basic principle. Take that principle a step further. When a Talmud Chacham goes to sleep, he does not need to recite Kriya Shema. A person spent 18 hours a day learning. You know any of these people? I don't know any people, any of these type of people, who learn 18 hours nonstop for real, not like me. You know, not everyone three, two hours. Just, you know, not drinking coffee all day. But people who really learn, they finish learning, they need to get rest, they need shmira. Tell me, Yaakov Avinu, after learning for 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Eder, he needed to put stones around his head? He's the ultimate example of Torah is Megan.
Why did he put those stones?
Oh, you know why? Because he passed in like Abaya. Abaya says, Af Talmud Chacham mi boyle lememar chad psuko derachane. Even though we have a principle that Torah is Megan, even when you're not learning, along comes Abaya. And Abaya, now, what do you tell me? You'll tell me, because, you know, he was a humble person, Yaakov. Shema Yigroim HaChet. Okay, you can say all you want to say, but that's not what it says in Abaya. Abaya doesn't say that. Abaya says, Af Talmid Chacham. Okay, this is all subject to interpretation. But I think it's fair to say that when Abaya is commenting about other Talmidei Chacham, Abaya is not commenting about himself. He's commenting about the principles, the concepts, even if you can show a person that has no chatoim, a person who is the real deal, no chatoim, af talmud chacham, no. Miboyulei lememar, at least chad pesuka derachame, kegoin, this pasuk, this is all a talmud chacham needs to say when he goes to sleep. That's it.
The principle, ein soim chenal hanes. How can anybody be sure that he has such...
No, we're not. You're right. We're not talking about Nisim. Let's do statistics. In New York City, how many people are robbed in the middle of the night? There are statistics. So it's not a nace to go to sleep and not be in a matzav of danger. It's not a matzav. How many people suffer, have to call 911 in the middle of the night for an emergency? The statistics are most people, the vast majority, it's not no nisim, but it happens. It happens. So you need siyata d'shmaya, and in case there's an emergency, you should, you know, wake up and you should take care of yourself and other people, right? So you would say, talmidei chachamim, they're ahead of the game. They're ahead of the game because since they learned the entire day, and Chazal tell us that the Torah is megin, so they don't have to worry about it.
I don't understand this principle. You know, so are we saying that a talmidei chachamim shouldn't buy insurance?
No, no. No. Let's talk theoretical. You're right. First of all, not everyone is a Talmud Chacham. And no one today can say about themselves that they're a Talmud Chacham. No one today can say about themselves, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I don't need life insurance. I don't need health insurance. No one can say that. So it's not relevant on a practical level. But let's talk theoretical. Theoretical. Torah is Megan. Afilu shaloi b'shas idne. Therefore, does a Talmud Chacham need to say Kriya Shema al Hamita? No. Someone spent 18 hours learning Torah, did not battle one second. When he goes to sleep, does he need the daven? He daven Marif. He said every single word of Kriya Shema with Kavana. He was yoytze the mitzvah deraisa uveshoch v'cha. Does he need now to say Kriya Shema? The average person
wouldn't
does.
You say Kriya Shema is like buying insurance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We just said that everybody has
I told
insurance.
You on
so
I told you today
to well,
I told you today in the year 2022 you're right it's not this is, I'm talking over a theoretical concept. No one today can say they're a Talmud Chacham, they don't need it, they have different set of rules. I want to talk theoretical. A real pure Talmud Chacham, if you can find today, show me someone in the world that learns 18 hours a day and doesn't battle a word one second. A real Talmud Chacham, when he goes to sleep, should he need to recite Kriya Shema Al Hamita? If the primary reason of reciting Kriya Shema Al Hamita is Shemira, is protection, V'horaya, the proof that it's Shemira is because Leil Pesach, you don't say Me'ikar Hadin, you don't say Kriya Shema Al Hamita, because it's a Leil Shimurim that goes to show that there's a dimension in the recital of Kriya Shema that provides protection.
And that's even on a national level.
For Klal Yisrael. So Leil Pesach in Jewish history has been the most dangerous day of the year, by the way. Okay? We spoke about this.
Yeah.
And some say just the opposite. When it says Leil Shimurim, we learn when we spend Pesach, some Rishonim say something that's shocking. Most of them have heard of is Adarabah. On the night of Pesach, you should have armed guards. Armed guards, it's the most dangerous night of the year.
Blood libels.
That's exactly, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Look what happened in Jewish history, the blood libels, all this stuff. That's why some say you do Shvei Chamoscha, you open the door. You know why you open the door? Mm-hmm. To check that there are no problems. They built it into the Haggadah because it's a night of Leil Shimurim, who the Pasuk in the Torah. This is how some of the Rishonim learn. Shocking Chiddush. You go to a kindergarten, what does it mean, Leil Shimurim? Oh, you know what it means? You don't lock the doors. Leave the doors wide open, the night of Pesach. And you don't say Kriya Shema Lamita because Hashem is watching over us. Yeah, that's the way we've been taught, Baruch Hashem. But there are Rishonim that disagree, and they say when it says in the Torah, Ki Leil Shimurim Hu Zela Hashem, it means it's a very dangerous night. That night of Pesach, the Mashchis went out to kill all the firstborns. And the Mashchis on its own is not Mavchin, Ben Tzadik L'Rasha. And it's only Hashem that holds him back to Pesach ala Pesach. It's a very dangerous night for all generations. And you better be on your best behavior. And you better watch out. The Rambam says, don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep the whole night. Sit and learn the whole night. Sit and learn the whole night. Talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're going to need this chos because it's a dangerous night. And historically, it sure is. It sure is. The blood libels, the tzaris that Klal Yisrael have from Leil Pesach, live with us ad hayoyim hazeh.
They told me the night in the army, 4 or 5 Pesach you spent in the army during World War II, Pesach night was a rough time because they really were anti-Semitic in those days, certainly. He had a lot of
tongues. So we're used to the regular shot. But there's a principle that it's the other approach, the simple approach, is just the opposite. That you don't do anything. Relax, chill out, Hashem's guarding you, don't say Kriya Shema Lamita. Okay, so take this principle a step further. Then, what about the whole year round? You do need to say Kriya Shema. Why? There's an additional dimension of Kriya Shema of Shemira. How is the recital of the first chapter of Kriya Shema provide protection? It's a good question. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. I don't know. You'll have to Eis Hashem Elokecha. It's not so clear. I don't know. For some reason, in the first chapter of Kriya Shema, you have to really struggle with this. For some reason, this more than anything else is a formula to protect us in our state of vulnerability when we are unconscious, when we sleep.
What's
yeah.
This Kriya Shema has to be sitting down or standing, not lying down and sitting.
Okay, so different opinion, right?
Like Beit Shammai.
There are different opinions. Right? No, that's only when you mekayim the Kriya Shema al Hamita midin kabolas ol malchus shemayim the shoch b'cha. The machlokes in the first mishnah, beginning of the second brachas,
right.
is discussing. It's nothing to do with Kriya Shema al Hamita. It's discussing the chiyuv d'oraisa to recite Kriya Shema in the evening, part of Ma'ariv.
But if somebody said not in time, but before the
you're right. As a different din. You're saying very good. If a person said Kriya Shema before the Zman, and now he's obligated to say Kriya Shema later on, and he's going to do a double stack. What's it called? He's going to do back
double
of two
dipping.
Double dipping. You're going to have two birds with one stone. Double building, two birds. The Kriya Shema al Hamita will be my a fulfillment of my obligation of the Kriya Shema shel Erev. There is a din of reciting Kriya Shema in the evening. Midin the Gzeres HaKosef. Uvishoch v'chom uvikumecha. When you go to sleep, when you wake up. It does not mean when you lie down on your bed. It means in the evening, which is a zman, a time of the day when people typically sleep. Then, I did it. I was a very good boy. I went to shul. I opened up the siddur. I read every single word with kavana. I'm done. Now I go home. Put on my pajamas, lie down. What do I do now? Say it again. At least the first paragraph. Why? I did it already. No, we're not asking you to say it again from Midin Uvishach Bucha. It's a Nayadin. It's called in Chazal's terminology Kriyas Shema Al Hamita. While you're on the bed. Al doesn't mean when you're lying, necessarily when you're lying down. It means when you go to sleep. It's an expression. Okay, then in Achanami there are different opinions. Exactly, are you allowed to say the Kriya Shema al Hamita when you are horizontal? I think some hold you can. If you're saying Kriya Shema, midin Kriya Shema al Hamita for protection when you go to sleep, so yeah, there are different rules.
It looks like we hold like
Marasayim. I don't know. It's al Hamita. It's not. We do the regular Kriya Shema part of Ma'ariv, part of the Tefillah. I don't know. I have to go into Shulchan Aruch and go through the sugya. I think the rules of Kriya Shema Lamita are very, very relaxed. They're very relaxed relative. Even Kriya Shema, you should know. Even saying Kriya Shema is very relaxed. The only thing that's very, very chomor is Shemona Esrei. The only thing where you have to be dressed properly, but Kriya Shema, I think Chazal say even if you're not even dressed. As long as you cover your body and you wrap something around your waist, it's kabolas omal choshem is for yourself. Shmoyne esrei is where you oimed lefnei hamelach. I'm sitting for Hashem. In any event, so here's the point. The point over here is, so what about the Talmud Chacham? Luchari doesn't need to say Kriya Shema. So the movie here says, so it's machlokes. Enochanami. Along comes Abaya. According to Rav Nachman, ein tzarech. Kriya Shema al Hamita was only instituted for those people who do not have the zuchus of Torah being made. Incredible chiddush, incredible piece of Gemara. Everyone in Koilo, as a perk, you don't have to say Kriya Shema al Hamita. That's what it says. You don't have to say Kriya Shema al Hamita, according to Rav Nachman. Ein tzarech. Case closed. Mark, you sit and learn the whole day. You don't have to say Kriya Shema al Hamita. Torah is Megan, Be'idna, Uvaloy Be'idna. Protected. Along comes Abaya, not so fast. I disagree. Even if you're the real deal, you can call yourself a Talmud Chacham. You have to say Kriya. You have to say, you don't have to say the full version, but you have to be mispalel for protection. Why? Oh, but Torah is Megan, I feel Shloy B'Shas innate. He doesn't explain. And certainly, if you look in the Rishonim, you'll probably find many different.
You
have Davin.
Yeah. But Gemara says, Shema Yisrael. He said that one pasuk.
He said Shema Yisrael during the drasha. When did he say Shema Yisrael?
Yeah.
But that's me.
That's part of maybe what
you're
talking about.
That's part of the din d'oraisa of uvikumecha. That's the here we're not dealing with the mitzvah d'oraisa the shachrucha uvikumecha. We're dealing with it in a completely different area in halacha. The chazal when the sacking a person should recite psukim should say kriya shema for shmira. A Talmud Chacham Torah is making be'idnei v'loy be'idnei. Yet along comes Abaya, you still need to say not the full version, but some why. What does Abaya need to say? So I don't look up the Gemara, but obviously you'll get many different opinions, and you'll have this study which is more subject to homiletics, and I think the most basic thing is, like in everything else in life, there are different dimensions of danger. We live in a very dangerous world. There is danger in every dimension of our life. When we are in a state of vulnerability, many different types of vulnerability. There's vulnerability in health, security, financial vulnerability, sakonis. We hear in the news every day things we never even thought of. This is a problem, that's a problem, you can't get baby formula, you can't, they scare you about food and get. There are so many different things, bliss is ignorance. Okay, we don't even realize. Then we have a problem. Oh wow, we didn't realize how lucky we were all along. How everything just worked together for going forward. When Torah is megan, I'm just saying, generally, obviously, it's megan for certain things. I'm trying to suggest pshat and gemara. But there are dimensions in the person's life where Torah is not megan. Chazal, Torah is megan be'idnei uveloy be'idnei. If along comes Rav Nachman, Abaya, and Abaya says, no, af Talmud Chacham miboy le lememar chad psuko derachame. Don't get carried away. There are dimensions in a person's life where Torah is not megan. The very famous story, one of the very big Rosh Yeshivas, I don't remember what this was, maybe they said a lot of things, and they were sitting, the Beis Medrash was rocking. The Beis Medrash was jam-packed, and the boys were learning the Hasmod Rabba. And the Rashiva walks in, and he gives a big zetz on the bima, quiet, bittul mamash, bittul Torah. And he says, Rabboisai, I want to remind you all, there's a Ribboino Shel Olam. Go back and learn. What do you mean? Everyone is learning. Learning. They're learning with intensity. And he stops learning. I want to remind you. Don't forget. There's a Ribboino Shel Olam. You know, you can get worked up in your religion. I remember on Shabbos, a very big Talmud Chacham, and it was time for Mincha. So his hat was on the other side. So he says, Dubi Toiv, can you pass me my religion? My what? My religion, that black thing over there, please pass me my religion. He was making litzonis of himself. Yeah, we learn, put on the big black hat. Are we really religious? Do we really believe? Are we really Bali Musa? Very big Talmud Chacham, he said, pass me my religion. A Talmud Chacham, Torah is megan. But you know, you gotta be careful. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm reading a Gemara. Machloikis, Abaya says, nothing, you're exempt. No, those are carried away over here. It's not muchrach that he's saying, oh, shema yigroi machet. It's not muchrach he means that. Life is complicated. There are many different dimensions, and a person, at the end of the day, he needs rachamim. And even the Talmud Chacham, he doesn't maybe need the same dosage as everyone else, but he needs rachamim, one pasuk. And what should you say? He was so kind. He says, kigoin, Abaya was so kind to say, you know, we went to the morning Kollel and we learned Tehillim and we came to page 264 in the Art Scroll edition and it says, this is the pasuk that I like. Biyadicha, a person should acknowledge in your hand, Hashem, Afkid, Ruchi, I deposit my neshama. Podiso oisi Hashem kel emes, either like the Mitzudos or like Rashi, you will redeem me, you have redeemed me. Hashem, you are the Kel, the God of MS. It is interesting that we can make a big drush, or we'll set the record straight. Kriya Shema al Hamid is only the first paragraph, okay? But it's the Minhag Yisrael, I mean, it's the Minhag, and when we say Kriya Shema, many of us imagine, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you go all the way to the very end, this week's parasha. Ani Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it says, Yisrael Yisrael Liyos Lachem Elokeinu, Ani Hashem Elokeinu, MS! MS is part of the next, it's not part of the Kriyashma. Initial MS. Oh, a regular person, what does he need to say? He needs to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's even enough according to some. Okay, if you have to, icing on the cake. A Talmud Chacham, you don't need to say the beginning. You need to say the end. You need to say, Hashem Kel MS. Okay? Hashem Kel MS. Or maybe you want to say, Kel Melech Ne'eman. Okay, it's just interesting that in this pasuk really dwells upon the very end of the way we have constructed the Kriya Shema by adding another word to the Kriya Shema at the very end. And Hashem is a Kel Emes. Talmid Chacham, they need to focus on a different element. MS.
This is another pasuk.
Right,
the
one of the stories, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the guy, so he could go in. Biyodoy avkid ruchi biyeh avkid ruchi podiso si Hashem kel MS. Okay, let us go to next pasuk. We have to move ahead a little bit. So neisi hash pasuk zayin on page 266. Sonesi Hashemrim Havle Shav Vani El Hashem Botachli. David over here is expressing his editorial on this world. He wrote an editorial for the New York Times. And what was the editorial? His editorial was 1, 2, 3, 4 words. Sonesi, I detest all of these people in the world, Hashemrim, who are guardians of Havle Shav, of nonsense. I cannot believe I'm looking at a world where people are, they don't, not only do they engage in nonsense, they're guardians of the nonsense. Go out and get the votes to make sure you preserve, you can be a guardian over nonsense. David says about himself, Vani, I don't hold from this nonsense. What's the Ani El Hashem Botach? He's saying quite a mouthful here.
It's a double heaven. Heaven and Shah.
Two words. An intensity. Multiplicity of nonsense. But what is the nonsense?
What is
the nonsense? Define the nonsense. So David defines it in the contrast. Vani El Hashem Botach. And it's so true today. It's really, if you look at society, read all the conspiracy theory channels. And you know, it has an effect on you. If you waste your time on reading all these conspiracy theories the whole day, you know, something sinks in a little bit. A little conspiracy theory sinks in. I you know, people always say, what's the chilek between a conspiracy theory and the world of reality? What's the difference? 6 months. 6 months is the difference between a conspiracy theory and reality. What is the yisoid of the nonsense? He's defining here the yisoid of the nonsense. Hav leishav. It is the opposite of having faith in Hashem. It's where you fully believe that your destiny, your life is in your hands. I can control the narrative. There's a problem out there in the world. I have the full power to take care of myself, guarantee my safety and security. I don't need you, Hashem. There's nothing that is a variable that can go, any variable in this world that can go the wrong way, we can shut it down. We can alter it so it will not be a problem. But that's not the way life is. life is dangerous by nature. And because it's dangerous by nature, a person needs, and you have to obviously degrees, there are always going to be in this world vulnerabilities. There's nothing you can do to shut down every single vulnerability. And how do you account, how do you deal with those vulnerabilities? Faith. Hashem, you're the boss. We need you to take care of us. No matter how hard society tries to shut down all the vulnerabilities, there's always going to be something's going to pop open. And, oh no, we didn't think of that. So what do we do now? Oh, well, shut that down. And then there's another leak here, another leak there. If you're living your whole life putting out fires, you have no time to live. And you fool yourself in thinking that you were in control. There's obviously a balance. No one's a fool to think that you'd be a life of hefker. But when after everything is said and done, and you've done everything that's within reason to protect yourself from all of the issues, you need Hashem. You need Hashem. And there are people out there that are demented that think it's not so. I mean, you listen to some of these people have a world stage. And what they say, it's unbelievable. Remember when the governor of New York City said that New York State said that our success in COVID is not because of God. It's not. He had nothing to do with it. We did this. It's total kafira, total unbelievable to talk like that. Nothing to do with him. We can take care of ourselves. We have vaccines. We have programs. We have solutions. We have medicines. We can take care of it. We don't need a God. The kafir was just shocking. Sent waves throughout the world. What kind of garbage is that? This is a very, you don't want to be, you know, not a religious person, but to a degree, you're not in control. You do everything that you can with the shtaglis within reason. And the remainder is Vani El Hashem Botachti. David saying there are demented people in this world who are practitioners of Havleshav, but that's not enough for them. That's not enough. You know what they need? They need to be Shomrim. They have to be guardians to preserve the nonsense. It's a very powerful pasuk. Pasuk Zayin the Mitzvah is David. Hashomrim Hametzapim Lishuas Huavoy Dezor. He says Derech Pshat. Those who Yunif Avodah Zarah, Rashi, Hashem, Havleshav, Hametzapim, Lis Shuas Avodah Zarah, Mitzapim. He learns Hashemim. I told you guardians. Okay, I told you what does not say. Okay, I told you a drush. Guardians. But Rashi over here says that the word Shmira often means to anticipate. Anticipation. Okay, everywhere Rashi always quotes the Aviv Shomar Es Hadovar. The dream of Yosef had dreams. Yaakov shut him down. What are you saying, nonsense? But Yaakov Avinu realized this is not nonsense. There's some message here in this dream. The Aviv Shomar anticipated when indeed will this happen. That's Rashi is taking that translation and is injecting it into this pasuk. Sonesi, I hate the people Hashomerim who are anticipating, who are looking forward with glee to Havlei Shav. To the next movie, to the newest release of the next piece of nonsense.
I think the contrast is Hashem Batakli rather than Avodah Zarah Batakli.
So Avodah, being that Rav Mordechai is saying good, that being Vani El Hashem Batakli refers to Avodah Hashem. The contrast is Avodah Zarah. People that are looking forward to the new edition of the Avodah Zarah. Very good. Shukayach. The latest version of Avodah Zarah. Every generation has a new version. What? Two words. Hevel avorik is similar to shav. Very, very good. Excellent. So there, maybe you want to go further to inject. Is hevel avorik? There's a very beautiful parish on. Is refers to Christianity and Islam. Hevel refers to Islam. The Muhammad. Rik is the Gematria Yeshu, Christianity. No, they really said this, and it's very interesting. You go through Olenu very in the fine comb, and you are familiar with the theology of Christianity and Islam, it's like Pasuk, Islam, Christianity, Islam, Christianity. And we totally reject that. So if you want to go, you want to say something, this prophecy, Sonesi, those who anticipate the coming of the Hevel and the Shav, of the two major religions in this world, which are Shtus and Hevel, all built on lies. Even they admit it's all a bunch of lies. But Va'ani, El Hashem, Batakhi, over here we come to contrast Judaism versus Christianity and Islam. Pasuches, Agila v'esmucha b'chastacha, I exult and I rejoice in your kindness. Asher ro'iso oni, you Hashem, have seen my affliction. Yodato, you Hashem, no bitzorois nafshi. This is a very important pasuk. This pasuk over here is a gila of nevuah that Hashem, I mean, we all know this to be true, but people, it's interesting though, but how fortunate we are to grow up with the Torah Hashkafa. You meet people who unfortunately never, they know from nothing. They mamish know from nothing. Nothing of nothing. And to tell them a concept that Hashem knows what they're thinking, they never heard this before. Really? I believe in God. But to believe in God that He knows my thoughts? Okay, maybe I'll accept that. But does God feel my pain? When I suffer, when I have anguish, does Hashem feel my tzar? It's a madrega to believe there's a God. There are people out there that really, it's unbelievable. We're very blessed. And then there are people, okay, I believe in God. Where is He today, God? You ever see the Enterprise, Star Trek? He went warp speed somewhere else. It's the hechad madrega. Hashem is right here. Hashem is the Mashkiach. He's the Mashkiach. But does He know what I'm thinking? Ahechon Madrega, He knows what I'm thinking. Does He feel my pain? David says, Agila ve'esmecha b'chastecha, in your kindness. What is the kindness? Asher ro'iso es on ye. You have seen my affliction. Yodata, you know. You know it. This expression means that knowledge is the ultimate reality. You feel my pain. Okay? Okay? So this pasuk is a parallel pasuk. Yodata, you Hashem know b'tzoras nafshi. Look over here in the mitzvahs pasuk ches. Pasuk ches is Asher Isa Nasata Lev Lirois. He says a very deep interpretation of the mitzvahs. Asher Nasata, you have paid attention. Asher Isa, he doesn't translate the words literally. By Hashem, you can never translate anything about anything that it says in the pasuk about Hashem literally. And he explains this to me. Asher Isa means is you applied yourself. You have a desire to know what is really going on in this world. Asher Isa nosata lev, you have applied yourself. Liros, you know, we live through life. Now you go to davening, you just daven up the words, very nice, you daven the words, but do you really pay attention to what it says? In order, it's autopilot. Just because there are words coming out of your mouth, if your mind is not there, that is a lack of nosata lev. And that's what it means of Yashar Ve'isa. V'ladas, and to know Tzorei Snavshi, Rashi, Pasik, there is no Rashi, there is no Pasik, that's V'lo his gartani biyad oyev, you did not deliver me in the hands of the enemy. This is like what this pasuk over here is the last day for, is going away to Eretz, going away to Kimaris, our dear friend Menachem Sperling. Hashem said, you have stationed me the Mesifta Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin in the Merchav. You have a Merchav? You have a faculty? Bungalow? Chaim Berlin is called Merchav. Merchav is Rosh Tevis, Mesifta Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Menachem Sperling is a division head. He's a big macha in Camp Morris from time immemorial. You run the day camp. You're going away. You have a wonderful summer. And over here, David over here said, you did not deliver me. Hamadita, you have positioned me Vamerchov, in a wide open expanse, ragloi, my feet. This expression is one of David's favorite expressions. He says it quite a bit, merchav. Merchav. What does that mean? It's a very problem. Merchav, often in life, the biggest problem is a person feels locked in. You have no options. You feel constrained. Suffering, depression, very often is when a person is, in his mind, he's a prisoner. He's a prisoner in his own mind. And the goal of many psychologists is to take a person out of your confinement.
Right.
Open up his mind, see the possibilities. Give a person space. David uses this term very often. You put me in a matzav of a wide open space. It doesn't mean harchovas hadas. It's not just, oh, I live in an apartment with 12 children, a one-bedroom apartment with 12 children, and I have some of them sleeping on the staircase. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean I have now a big open, it means in the mind. Don't have to really say, kleina hasagas. Kleina hasagas. The greatest thing you can give a student is big hasagas. I heard this many times. I heard a very beautiful speech from Freifeld. He said it. I remember in which context he was saying this about Rav Putner. I think he basically said that the greatest thing you can give a person, you know, education. What is education? So many people, you go to school, you go 4 years high school, 4 years college. Today that's too long for everyone. So today they have to cut down high school to 3 years. College, you have to cut, everything has to be cut down, you know. How much already can you learn in 3-4 years? How much can you learn? You know, there's only that much time during the day. You have classes, yeah, and they stuff you the best that they can. And I once heard someone bragging about a certain school. Bragging, his grandchildren go to this school, I'm not going to tell you where, in some community. And he varf off to me 20 different disciplines. He learns Talmud, Nach, and Halacha, all he learns. And then they learn in the secular studies, they learn, he named off all the disciplines. And this guy, what grade is he? He's in 10th grade. And I said, what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And I said, come on, really? Really? A kid in 10th grade, such an ilui, they stuff into his head all of these things. Okay, I mean, you have a good school, and there's discipline, and the parents care, and the teachers care. You can really, you know, you can fill up someone's head with a lot of information. Really? That? You're really able to do it? It's hard to me to believe what he was saying. And then, I look at people like later on, what happens? So they finish school after three years, and then that's it. Gone. I'm now a finished product, and now I get a job, I go to another school. There's no thirst. There's no longer, it's a very big problem, there's no thirst for the rest of your life. When you finish a high school, when you're 17, 18 years old, go to college, so you finish when you're 21, 22, or what about the rest of your life? I'm done. I got a degree. I now go into politics. And I push people around for the rest of my life. And then you have someone that, you know, at the end of his studies, I'm not saying it's good, he doesn't necessarily come away knowing, you know, what he knows, a couple of Daf Gemara. He doesn't know Tanakh too well, he doesn't know this too well. It's chaval. I'm not coming to defend one iota problems. I'm not defending one iota any issue of education. Who am I to open my mouth? But you know what real success is? When the person finishes his education, like the wedding videos they used to have, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. Meaning, you put in a person a harchovas hadas. Oh, wow, you know what's out there? You know what there is to conquer? The knowledge, what there is out there to conquer, to understand, to delve into? That is success. Oh, but the person is not, you know, some better, some less. A person has a yearning, a thirst. That's a talent. That's a very, very big talent to accomplish that. David says, you have established me in my feet, in a mokoyim, it means figuratively speaking, in a situation of expansiveness. Harchovas hadas. Shloisha dvarim marchivin daito shalom. What are the three things? A bias noya, isha noya, and what was the third one?
Kalin
noya. Three things are marchivin daito shalom. So some interpret that mamar chazal l'toiv, and some interpret that l'ra. Some interpret that l'toiv, that if a person has a bias noya, isha noya, kalin noya, it gives him harchovas hadas to achieve in ruchnius. And some interpret this lara, is that you get a little carried away with your gashmius and your self-centeredness, and it can cause a person to be nichshol in averus. But one thing it does, it's marchiv daita shel adam. The question is, how are you going to use it? Let's see what it says over here now. Lo yiskartani, I like very much. I was thinking what Rav Kalman said a few days ago. Rav Kalman said a very good vart. Al tashlicheni le'es zikna. So I always grew up my whole life thinking al tashlicheni means don't abandon me. When the day will come, it will be the es zikna, when a person sees himself to be 100 years old. Ribbonish, I got 20 years left to go. I'm only 100 years old. I got 20 years to go. I don't want to be, in an assisted living facility when I'm 100 years old. I want to be independent. So it's like tefillah koidem l'tzara. When I get to that age, I should be gesund. Tefillah koidem. Rav Kalman told us, another pshat, do not prematurely push me into zikna. Don't tashlicheni means hashlocha, to cast, to throw, to push. Don't in my younger, I'm not worried, 100 years old, if I'm still around and I'm in an assisted living zone, I'll be very happy. I'll be thrilled. Someone will do my laundry and I'll have the money to pay for it and the world will still be going on. I'll be thrilled. We're not talking about what's going to be. We're talking about now. Right now, today, Hashem, please preserve my health. Don't prematurely push me over the edge into a matzav of zikna. Al tashlichini, don't throw me. This pasuk is very similar. V'loy hiskartani, you did not deliver me. A person can do himself in. A person can do, you're traveling in the car, and you go, you make a wrong turn. And you find out, I'm now in a very bad neighborhood. I don't belong here. Don't, hiskartani, do not, it's an active word. Don't lock me in. Don't push me into a matziv of biyad oyev. You have not, v'loy hiskartani, you Hashem in the past did not do that to me. You did not deliberately push me into a bad neighborhood, but instead, Hemadita, you have positioned me, Vamerchov, Ragloy, you have to read these words backwards. You have Hemadita Ragloy. You station my feet in a Mokoim that is Merchov. That is expansive. Mitsudoy Stavipasik Tes, Vloy Iskartani, Loy Mosarti, I see you do not deliver me beyond Hoyev, Hemadita Ragloy, Bemokoim, Merchov, Shloy, Eman, I should not falter. Okay, Rashi Pasik Tes. Rashi is Kartani, Rav Michal, we call upon you.
His Kartani, Livras, what? Livras sounds like deliver.
Okay, you did not deliver me. Okay, next. Let's go forward in Rashi. Next. Umanachim Chibarasa Lashon Sigira. B'chein kol lashon sogar. Deliver, sogar means to lack. It could very, what is Rashi? It could very well be, I'm not sure, but it seems that Rashi is presenting two different trends, different approaches. Either it means, I was in prison, and you took me, you opened the door. You did not allow me to waste away. Or it's active. In other words, is this passive or is it active? According to Rashi, according to what you say from deliver, which means you did not actively pick me up and lock me up in some imprisonment. According to Rashi's second shot, no, I was already in prison. I found myself locked up for whatever the reason was. You, Hashem, were kind, did not allow me to remain locked up. You petitioned on my behalf. You came to my rescue and you opened the door. You did not allow me to remain in a matzav of being sogar.
This what happened.
They locked him up. And Hashem came along and allowed him to be brought about events which opened him, released him. So either it's passive or active. Pasuk Yud, Choneini Hashem Kitzarli. Now this is a very, very important word. It's really going to be, well, it's not necessarily the same word. No. Okay, we'll see. You know, it's the same word. It's a pasuk yud and pasuk. We'll do the two pasukim together very quickly. Choneini Hashem Kitzarli. Hashem from show me favor. Kitzarli, I have pain. The word tsar is in direct contrast to the word merchav. The previous pasuk it says merchav. Merchav means wideness, expansiveness. Tsar means narrowness. Kitzarli, and here's important. Or we say this in the mizmar of Tachman, or shesha, it has been dimmed. The word osh comes from a moth. An osh is a moth.
Ashashit.
Sorry?
A lantern
which is dim. Oshesha, I have become dimmed. I have become weakened. Vichas eini, nafshi uvitchi. We have to see how this is translated more precisely. Pasuk in the Mitzvah of David, Oshesha. Ba'av, we have to translate the pasuk out of order. You cannot translate in order. Ba'avur kas, because of the kas of the anger, misugyoin, mitugyoin hatzaros. Tugyoin means the weariness. Lashon of yigiya. A yigiya is the weariness of my tzaros. Ki'ilu, it's as if nirkavu einai, my eyes have rotted away. He's translating the word oshesha as like rikavoyim, rotting, becoming dim, dull, not functioning properly. Look at the mitzvah siyoyim, oshesha, inyan belia, to wear away, the rikavon, rot, v'chem lamata, the next pasuk, v'atzamai osheshu, the carve of the osh, yoychlem, may a worm or a moth or some maggot, some type of creature, should eat up the garment, should eat up the object. So and we take the word this osh, which is a creature, and the nature of this creature is to cause something to become withered, to become damaged, to become weakened and ruined. We apply that in the verb form to a person. The person has become worn out. Shehu hatoilas ha'ichal abeged, eats a beged, a moth u'mafsidoi. Let's do the next one quickly. Ki cholu v'yogon chayai, my life has, so let's go back to the part before the translate the crack correctly. Choneni Hashem, you have shown me favor, Hashem. Ki tzar li have pain. We take all these words together. Oshesha v'cha'as eini nafshi uvitni. So read backwards. My beten, my stomach, and my neshama, and my eyes have become in a state of biloyon, dim. Because of, I made a mistake. Let's go backwards. Nafshi ubitni, let's read it like this. My neshama and my beten, which means in essence my neshama and my guf. My beten is my stomach, ubitni, which means my body, has become in a state of oshesha.
Decay.
Why? Due to the ka'as eini, due to the anger of my eye. Now, here the word kas does not mean anger. It means the agmas nefesh, my despair. The word you learn from this post, the word kas, we think the word kas means anger. Does it really mean anger? It can't mean here anger. David was not an angry person. Okay, we don't have any indication that he was an angry person. So what does it mean, the kas eini? It means my eyes are in a state of upheaval. Why they are in this state of upheaval? Because of my tzaras. I'm crying. So the word kas doesn't literally mean anger. It means there is a lot of activity that is not good due to situation due to causes that are very unpleasant. Let's go back to read the Mishnah again one more time. Pasuk Yud. Oshasha, dim, bavur. It is because of the ka'as, mitugyoin hatsarois, ki'ilu nirkivu einai. The way I translate is not necessarily the way he's translating. The way he's saying is different. He's saying that the word, my eyes have become, because of, my eyes have entered into a state of oshasha because of the kas. It seems that he is saying that the word
oshasha eli the kas because of the kas.
So it seems like he's saying is that the word eli nafshi uvitni go together. It seems like the mitzvah stuff that he's saying is that these three things are three different elements of my being, my eyes, my neshama, and my beten. And all of them have now become in a state of decay because of kass. Is that what he's saying? Because he's putting the rikva in eini. I thought it means the other way around. I thought it means no. The kass eini is one expression. And because of the kass eini, that is why oshasha nafshi ubitni. That's not what the Mitzvah is saying. The Mitzvah is saying is that the word eini is going back on oshasha, or oshasha is going on eini, and also on nafshi uvitli. So then the only way you can translate this is that because of the ka'as, period, put a box around the ka'as, because of this ka'as that I suffer from, that has had an effect on my health. It has caused my eyes, my neshama, and my beten to be withered away.
But the Mitzvah, it sounds to me like, because of his
tsar,
he's having
overflow. So he's translating the word kas as tsar.
He doesn't have to. He said it before.
Is it kitsarli? So kas is another word for tsar. It's another form of tsar. He's saying because ba'avur kas, period. Because of the kas. What is kas? Mitugyoin hatsarois. That's it. The word kas is an independent sentence. Because of my tsaros, that has had an effect on my life and has caused that my eyes, eini, nafshi ubitni, has entered into a state of osh, of being dulled, being withered away. Let's see Rashi.
I think that the kaas belongs to nafshi. With kaas, the tsa'ar yagun is the nefesh. As in Nagid, Ashisha, because mixed it up.
You're taking a sharp knife and slicing and dicing here. Good, okay. You're saying that the word nafshi is going on the kas. The kas nafshi has caused oshasha eini.
What this knee is doing there, I don't know.
Maybe it's the cast in my beten. But the word you see,
you feel okay.
Now, if Kalman is suggesting that we read the pasuk in this fashion, because of the ka'as nafshi ubitni, there's ka'as in my neshama, there's upheaval in my neshama, my beten is a symbol of my health, my physical health, is in a matzav of, because of that, oshasha eini. Okay, very good.
He does it many times.
It just doesn't say it. I would use my medical degree here.
Yeah.
And going back to what I was saying before, when someone is stressed, like he has stress, he's telling Hashem, because of all the stress I've had in my life, that has dimmed my eyes and caused me to look at everything in anger.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. That's how I started off. That's not what the Mitzvah says. I wanted to say is that because of the ka'as, that's what the Mitzvah David says. Not what I said. That's what the Mitzvah David says. Our first interpretation, because of the ka'as. I'm sorry. What Rav Kalman is saying, what Rav Mark I think is saying is, the word eini means my outlook on life.
Yes.
Because of the tsaros in my life, my vision.
This has happened. We've met people in our lives they're so stressed out, they can't think straight.
Exactly.
Everything becomes bad.
Ani is an independent statement that you don't have the ability to look to have an optimistic approach going forward. Ani means my outlook on life has been dulled because of the ka'as of nafshi ubidni. So let's see Rashi.
This is what happened to Yaakov. Me'at ve'ra'im hayu yemei shnei chayal, and he lost his vision.
Lo yisigu. Yalzitzot.
He looked
very old. Let's see what Rashi, and finish up Rashi. O shisha, ko hasa, l'shoin ashoshis, a lantern, like what Kalman said, a lantern. She'odom noisim zichuchis l'neged einav l'irois l'eiver ha'zichuchis davar. You put a piece of glass opposite your eyes, lirois le'evit, to see on the other side of the glass, dover something, the ein oisamare birura, asplak maria she'eino mi'ira. This asplak maria, Moshe, when we spoke to Hashem, spoke the asplak maria mi'ira. What does that mean? Moshe didn't wear glasses. Okay? Every pair of glasses, there's some distortion. Yeah, all Moshe did not need glasses. Other prophets, they saw Hashem, they were wearing glasses. Asplak Maria She'eino Mi'ira. Ashoshis is a lantern, which means too much light. According to Rashi, Rashi is telling you what I never understood this the lantern is. I thought a lantern is a source of light. Saying, no, if you want light in a room, you make a fire, a big torch. Don't worry about pollution and global warming. You just go and you make a big torch. What's an Ashoshis? Too much light. I want to go to sleep. Too much light. So you shelter it, but I need some light, a night light. So you dim the light. How can you dim light? There's no such thing as dimming light. By surrounding it with a piece of glass, which limits, depending on how much you coat the glass, limits its ability to shine. That's called an ashoshis. I think suddenly it's on its way out. No, it's on its way out. It's strong. It's just you have controlled it by dulling it, by sheltering this light
like
in the container.
Sunglasses.
Exactly. Right, sunglasses. Ashoshes are sunglasses. So what we were saying is, I wear sunglasses, but not for good reasons. Not for good reasons. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break.
I think the Yortzeit of Yosef Rosenblatt, also Rav Sema Eliyahu Rav Eliyahu.
I think, and it's also the yard side of Rome Way.